Jaya Radha Matanuma Kunya Vihari Jai Hurad Omatahuva Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Badadhati Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Badadhati Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Malaba Giribadadhari Gopi Jana Malaba Giribadadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidikacharya Austo Tera Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhayacharanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopagopata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Ki Jai Maturnam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lasa Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Go, Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go, Premananda. So, Om Gana Timananda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurveda Maha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened our eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So we'll continue with the Bhagavad Gita study. And we will go to the screen where the Bhagavad Gita is. And at the end, we'll have some special programs at the end of this discussion. But let's go to the Bhagavad Gita first. Okay, so let's adjust this. And full screen. Okay, so we are on text 60 of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So let us start. Yatato yapi kanteha purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramatini haranti prasabhamanaha ayataha while endeavoring, hold on a second, let me shift the light. While endeavoring, he certainly, in spite of, Kuntiya, the son of Kunti, Purushasya, of a man, Vipaschitaha, full of discriminating knowledge, Indriyani, the senses, Pramatini, agitating, Haranti, throw, Prisabam, by force, Mana, the mind. So this important verse. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. Now remember the previous verse we talked about, or Krishna talked about, being like a tortoise. You withdraw your senses when there's a possibility of the senses going out of control. In other words, you don't contemplate sense objects, previous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. You have to be very careful about contemplating sense objects because you get attached to them. When you get attached to them, you get really crazy, lusty, lose your intelligence, and you ultimately fall down in the material whirlpool. So one has to be very careful what they do with their senses. And we also mentioned yesterday in our discussion that due to the nature of the mind, and Krishna describes it as mental concoction, one enjoys particular senses and sense objects. And the mind can be conditioned to enjoy any material sense object. And I gave the example yesterday, those of you who were with us, that people in certain parts of the world, they enjoy eating foodstuffs which we would consider to be disgusting, you know, like insects, dogs, and things like that. You know, that is the condition of the mind. And if one gets a pig body, one enjoys foodstuffs that we would definitely not even go within 3 meters of, which we won't describe right now. So it's all due to the shape of the mind, what sort of sense objects you're attracted to. And if you can control your mind, you can control the sense objects that you're attracted to. That's very interesting. You can control the sense objects that you're attracted to. You can't control the object, but you can control your attraction to those particular objects. So one has to be very careful to tightly control the senses. So Purport Prabhupada explains, there are many learned sages, philosophers, and transcendentalists who try to conquer the senses, but in spite of their endeavors, even the greatest of them sometimes fall victim to material sense enjoyment due to the agitated mind. Even Viswamitra, a great sage and perfect yogi, was misled by Menaka into sex enjoyment, although the yogi was endeavoring for sense control with severe types of penance and yoga practice. I guess we should tell that story since Prabhupada mentioned it. So Viswamitra, I'm not going to tell the story from the beginning, but Viswamitra wanted to be a Brahmin or a Brahma Rishi, and he had some conflict with Vasishtha Muni, okay, because Viswamitra was previously a king. So he had this big conflict with Viswamitra, with Vasishtha, and so he was performing austerities, and the demigods, they weren't too happy with his austerities because they thought he'd become so powerful he would take over the heavenly planets. So they sent down something to lure him away from his austere practices. And what they sent was this person named Menaka. So Menaka comes down. Menaka, of course, a very beautiful lady. And she jingles her ankle bells. And he has his eyes half closed. It's described that yogis, sometimes they would close their eyes halfway. Look at the tip of their nose. The reason for closed eyes is if you close them completely, you go to sleep. And if you open them completely, you'll get attracted to everything in this world. So the proper yogi should have the eyes half closed, looking at the tip of the nose, cross-eyed. That way you won't see anything, and at the same time you won't fall asleep. He heard the ankle bells, he opened his eyes wide, and he got attracted, and he forgot all about his yogic practices, and he lived with her for a number of years. And after a few years, he thought, oh, I was tricked by these demigods. And he got angry. And she got a little scared. She went away. In the meantime, they had a little daughter. And that daughter's name was Shakuntala. And there's a whole story about Shakuntala, who got married to Dushyanta. And I'm not going to tell that story. It's a very long story. It'll be a whole class. And Shakuntala gave birth to Bart, of whom the Bart Varsha, that is India, as it's known now, was named. So that's the great Bart. There's many Barts in the Vedic literature. Another one was the son of Lord Rishabhadev. So anyway, so that's the story of Viswamitra. And he was misled in many ways, not just by Menaka, but in other circumstances. He gave in to anger when a bird happened to pass stool on his head, and he burnt the bird up. And another instance, Rama came down, and he pretty much made her disincarnate, didn't really destroy her. And so he kept succumbing to anger because of the lack of sense control. Ultimately, he was able to control his senses, become a great devotee, and he lived happily ever after. And of course, there are many similar instances in the history of the world. There's so many instances. Another instance, of course, is Ajamil, a famous personality in the Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. Ajami was just a very nice Brahmin, and he became attracted to an improper relationship with a prostitute. And he lost everything, but fortunately, at the time of leaving his body, he chanted the name of his son. His son happened to be named, as you guessed, Narayan, Narayan. That's a very nice name. Just check the sound, make sure I got the right sound. Yeah. Narayan, Narayan, he chanted at the time of leaving this world. So Krishna ultimately saves his devotee, but you got to be careful in the meantime. Therefore, it is very difficult to control the mind senses without being fully Krishna conscious. Without engaging the mind in Krishna, one cannot cease from such material engagements. A practical example is given by Sri Yamunacharya, a great saint and devotee, who says, Yadavari namacheta Krishna padaravinde hai navanavarasa dhammanyudhyatam ratanmasit taravadi vatanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vihara shushtu nishtivanam cha. Since my mind has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor. Whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it, and I spit at the thought. Well, because there's a whole history behind it, because he was a king before, and he was really, anyway, fully into it until he got saved. And there's a whole story in South India about that. But the point is that there's nothing wrong with sex life. Okay, let me make it clear, since some of you are going to get scared. But there's a purpose to it, a natural purpose, which is to have Krishna-conscious children. And one has to control themselves of not being controlled by these bodily urges. That's the whole point. And the tongue, actually, is even stronger than the sexual organ insofar as the pulling the person here and there. And I've practically seen this with so many people that they are able to conquer it, follow the four regulated principles, but the tongue, no, can't control it. So the whole point is that we're so much attracted to Krishna that anything that pulls us away from Krishna, which is unnecessary eating, unnecessary engagement in sex life, unnecessary engagement in any sort of sensory endeavor, becomes something that we really abhor. So Krishna consciousness is such a transcendentally nice thing that automatically material enjoyment becomes distasteful. It is as if a hungry man has satisfied his hunger by a sufficient quantity of nutritious eatables. Maharaj Ambarish also conquered a great yogi, Durvasa Muni, simply because his mind was engaged in Krishna consciousness. Savaimana Krishna Padaravinda Vashamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Vardhane. Tell the story about that. So Durvasa Muni, he came to Maharaj Ambarish when Maharaj Ambarish was doing a fast, and according to the ritual that Maharaj Ambarish was following, he was supposed to break the fast just about at that moment or shortly thereafter. So there is a system in polite cultures of hospitality that when a guest comes, the host is not supposed to eat until the guest is fed. And particularly if your guest happens to be Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is known for his bad temper. In fact, his very name means the Muni with a bad temper. Got to be careful when he's around. Just behave yourself, do whatever he says, and pray for the best. So what happened is that Durvasa Muni came to Maharaj Ambarish right when he was supposed to break the fast, and Durvasa Muni went to take his bath before he was going to take prasadam, because that's the proper method, clean yourself. And Maharaj Ambarish was thinking, I got to break my fast now, I've taken a vow, what am I going to do, how to break my fast without offending my guest. And what he did is he thought, well, let me drink a little water, that will break the fast without eating, so, you know, hopefully this will work out. So he drank a little water, and Durvasa Muni came back, and Durvasa Muni knew that he had taken water before his guest took water. And he got really angry. Like I said, bad temper. If you invite him to your home, just be really careful. Even if he wakes you up in the middle of the night and wants a whole feast, you cook it. You cook it. This is actually what happened with Kunti Devi, that she was tested by him. He requested so many things from her, you know, he would wake up in the middle of the night and say, cook. And then she would cook, and he said, well, I don't want to eat this. And then he'd wake up 2 hours later and said, cook, I want fresh food. Can't give me old food. And she had to do it, and because of that, she got the benediction of calling the demigods, and that story's in the Mahabharata. So, anyway, getting back to the story of Maharaj Ambarish, that Durvasa Muni got so angry at him that he plucked out one of his hairs and he made a giant demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish. So this giant demon came out. And Maharaj Ambarish, he just sees everything as connected to Krishna. He didn't get worried. He just chanted Hare Krishna. And Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra, which you'll see in a second behind me, when I go back to my own face, Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra actually started, not to kill the demon, but started to chase Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni had to go all over the material creations, up and down, up and down, up and down. Finally went to Lord Vishnu and said to Lord Vishnu, please save me. Lord Vishnu said, no way. The only person who could save you is Maharaj Ambarish. So Durvasa Muni goes back to Maharaj Ambarish, begs for forgiveness, they become good friends, and the story ends very, very nicely. So Maharaj Ambarish was able to defeat this sage, Durvasa Muni. I mean, that's pretty amazing, being able to defeat this sage by being a great devotee of the Lord. And the sage was such an austere, dedicated, and even an expansion of Lord Shiva. So devotion is able to accomplish anything. So a devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord, or a devotee of the Lord, can engage in sensory activities. Even, you know, like was mentioned in this previous purport, the Prabhupada was quoting from Shripad Yamunacharya, a devotee of the Lord in the grahastha ashram can even engage in sexual relationships and dovetail that in Krishna's service. So actually, a devotee is given special dispensation and still be completely on the spiritual path. Amazing. If one's doing Hatha Yoga, there's no such dispensation, regardless of what modern Hatha Yogis tell you. If one's doing Jnana Yoga, there's no such dispensation. But if one is doing Bhakti Yoga, there is a dispensation. You can use any of the senses in Krishna's service. In fact, we have the quote from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said that if he thought he could have Krishna conscious children, he would be prepared to have sex 1,000 times. So these things are not absolute statements, but everything could be, yeah, his statements are absolute, but the prohibition of certain activities is not an absolute statement. Certain of those activities can be used in Krishna's service, and dovetailed in Krishna's service. Just like we're eating. That's certainly a very pleasurable activity, and that can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. We better dovetail in Krishna's service, or else we will starve. Nobody wants to starve. So better we eat. We have to eat, and we eat Krishna prasadam. So next text. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta sit marat matparaha vasehi yasyendriyadi tasya pragya pratishtita. Tani, those senses, sarvani, all samyamya, keep it under control, yukta, engaged, asita, should be situated, matpara, in relationship with me, vasye, in full subjugation, he certainly, yasha, one who, indriyani, senses, tasha, his pragya, consciousness, pratishtita, fixed. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. So let me give you a practical example of that. Let's say even apart from Krishna consciousness. Just like in this world, we know we have to behave in certain ways or else we get in trouble. For example, if you were driving a car, you may have the inclination, certainly I also have the inclination, to put my pedal to the metal, which basically means, you know, the accelerated pedal, put it down to the floor and go at 120 miles an hour or 150 miles an hour. There's an inclination. But we know through intelligence, well, several things. One is that we'll get a ticket and lose our license. And another thing is that these cars are not really meant for going that fast. We'll probably blow out the engine. And so it's really frightening. One time I was in Mexico with one of my godbrothers, Guru Prasad Swami, and he said, well, let me show you what it's like to go at 140 miles an hour. And he did it, man. And it's frightening. Of course, there the police weren't going to pull us over, but it was pretty frightening. So in other words, we have inclinations to do things. Like sometimes someone says something and we're inclined to yell at them, and we don't yell at them because we control it with our intelligence. We know it's not going to be productive to simply yell at someone. Just like in my position as a spiritual master, I know certain disciples I can correct, chastise, and other ones, you know, just whatever. Other ones I can't. So I control my ability to chastise. So anyway, so this is just practical in this world. You control your senses, you know how to use them in each and every circumstance, and especially in Krishna consciousness, then you're known as a person of steady intelligence. That the highest conception, this Prabhupada's purport, of yoga perfection is Krishna consciousness is clearly explained in this verse. And unless one is Krishna conscious, it is not at all possible to control the senses. As cited above, the great sage Durvasa Muni picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish, we told the story, and Durvasa Muni unnecessarily became angry out of pride and therefore could not check his senses. On the other hand, the king, although not as powerful a yogi as the sage, but a devotee of the Lord, silently tolerated all the sage's injustices and thereby emerged victorious. The king was able to control his senses because of the following qualifications, a very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. As mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 4th chapter, 18th text to 20th text. So this is how we control the senses. Savai mana krishna padaravindayo vachamsi vaikuntha gunana vardane karo harer mandira marjana dishu Ashutim charar chuta sat katho daye mukundalingalaya darshane darsho tad brichigatra sparshenga sangamang Granam chatapa saroja sorve. Srimatulasya rasanam tad arpite. Pado harer secha pananu sarpane. Shiro rishikesha padavi vandane. Kamanja dasche natakama kamya. Yatottama shloka janashaya ratahi. So here's the translation. King Ambarish fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, engaged his words in describing the abode of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, his eyes in seeing the form of the Lord, his body in touching the body of the devotee, his nostrils in smelling the flavor of the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, his tongue in tasting the tulasi leaves offered to him, his legs in traveling to the holy places where his temple is situated, his head in offering obeisances unto the Lord, and his desires in fulfilling the desires of the Lord. And all these qualifications made him fit to become a Makpara devotee of the Lord. So the whole idea is all of your senses had to be engaged in Krishna's service. Ears, nose, tongue, everything. And then it's perfect. Any sense, either the active senses or the perceptive senses. Active senses means things like the legs, the tongue, belly, genitals, like that. And the perceptive senses are things like, you know, the eyes and tongue. The tongue is also a perceptive sense, which is interesting, an active sense. And so, and the ears, of course. So if we engage them all in Krishna's service, then because Krishna is most attractive. In fact, that's the word. What the word Krishna means. Krish means to attract, like we have described in the Bhagavad Gita about a person who does agriculture. They use a sort of attractor. Krishi go raksha vanijan vaisha karma svabhavajam. So Krish means to attract, and na means two different things. One is Ananda, short for Ananda, or bliss. And na means it negates your miseries. So bliss negates your miseries. So this is very, very important. So the word matpara is most significant in this connection. How one can become matpara, that means a transcendental devotee of Krishna, is described in the life of Maharaj Ambarish. Srila Balladeva Vidyabhushan, a great scholar and acharya in the line of matpara, remarks, Mod bhakti prabhavena sarvendriya vijaya purvika swatma drishti sulabheti bhavaka. The senses can be completely controlled only by the strength of devotional service to Krishna. Devotional service means loving Krishna so much. If you love someone so much, you're willing to do anything. And you know, the example given in this world is like a mother loves a child. Let's say my mother, who I always refer to, my mother loves me so much that when she, or loved and loves me still, when I was young, she would work at night just so there was enough money to send me to summer camp a summer and pay for whatever I had to do. And she would go to university at night too. And, you know, very, very dedicated. And she controlled her senses in this way. I'm not saying that she was practicing Krishna consciousness, but because there was love there. Where there is love, love conquers everything. It is a fact. Real love conquers everything where one dedicates themselves to the beloved. Also, the example of fire is sometimes given as a blazing fire burns everything within a room. Lord Vishnu, situated in the heart of a yogi, burns up all kinds of impurities. The Yoga Sutra also prescribes meditation on Vishnu and not meditation on the void. How can you meditate on the void? Can you meditate on nothing? Not possible. Meditate on nothing. Okay, I am meditating on nothing. Well, just the fact that you're aware that you're meditating or thinking you're meditating on nothing means that you're not meditating on nothing. Because there's still you. The so-called yogis who meditate on something other than Vishnu's form, the Vishnu form, simply waste their time in a vain search after some phantasmagoria, illusion. We have to be Krishna conscious, devoted to the personality of God. This is the aim of the real yoga. Great. Now here's the verses that I'm referring to before. Jayato vichayak punsa sangoste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama krodo vijayate. Jayata, while contemplating vishayan, sense objects, pumsa, of a person, sangha, attachment, teshu, and the sense objects, upajayate, develops, sangat, from attachment, sanjayate, develops, kama, desire, kamat, from desire, krodha, anger, abhijayate, becomes manifest. Here is the whole process for diving deeply in the mode of ignorance. You want to do it? Here's how you do it. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. I mentioned before, you can become attached to basically anything. Depending on your culture, you may be attached. Prabhupada gave the example of the people in Korea who were attached to something called liquid dog. And I'll explain what it is. Hopefully, it won't disgust all of you. So liquid dog... All right, the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Korea to preach. Okay, fine, very nice. And so while they were in Korea preaching, they were cooking things in ghee, purified, clarified butter. And the people there couldn't stand the smell of it. They get very upset. But the devotees noticed that the people there had a great delicacy, which they loved to drink. And so that great delicacy was that in front of every house, there was a big vat, and that vat was not collected by the garbage collectors, in which any animal that died was thrown into, especially dogs or any animal that died, was thrown into this vat, and then, of course, they sealed the cover of the vat, and the whole vat was left to ferment. Pretty hellish. And so it fermented over some period of time. You know, from time to time, they just opened the cover just to see what was happening. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples described that it would contaminate the whole neighborhood for days. You couldn't breathe, practically. And so then after a few years, they would take a tap off some of the liquid, bottle it, and it is called liquid dog, and it was considered to be a great delicacy. So you get attached to anything you contemplate after some time. So we have to be careful what we contemplate. We mentioned the other day one can contemplate, you know, the smoking of cigarettes, which is obnoxious in the beginning, the drinking of alcohol, which is obnoxious in the beginning. Practically any activity we can get attached to. If you start meditating on it enough. I mean, for example, if I tell you about Hawaii, I mean, you've all heard of Hawaii. Okay, let me tell you about Hawaii so you see if your minds get attached. We'll do a little experiment. That Hawaii, the weather is always perfect. The avocados are, you can't see my face right now, but there are, most of you can't, except in a little box. The avocados are like about 8 inches long. A foot long when I was there. And one can feed a whole family for 2 days. And the mangoes growing on trees, the papayas everywhere. You can just like live out in the bushes, and it's just perfect. The atmosphere is perfect there. So I'm telling you about this wonderful place. And as I'm telling you about this wonderful place, and of course the waves are very beautiful, the beaches are just like white sand. Some of them are black sand from the volcanic volcanoes that are there. So after I tell you about this, you're going to think, phew, I should go there. Sounds really nice. So you develop attachment. And so then you start to talk about it and meditate on it more with your husband or wife or family or friends or whatever. And then you think, I gotta go there. And then you start to look at the airline schedules. Of course, in normal times, not the coronavirus times, and then you really, really want to go there, and then you discover it's the coronavirus time. And then, I can't go there. I feel so trapped. So this is what happens. When you contemplate just about anything other than things related to Krishna, you get really attached. Really, really attached. Just like people go window shopping sometimes. In the old days, people would walk in the malls and go window shopping. Nowadays, of course, they go on Amazon. And they look, I got to have this, I got to have that. And they go into debt. Or one goes to a car dealership. We have devotees who work in financing cars for car dealerships. And they were explaining to me that when people go into the car dealerships to buy cars that are beyond their means to pay. They're paying more for their cars than they are, in many cases, than for their homes. They may live in a shack, but they're driving around in a big, big SUV because they see this thing, they hear about it, they become attached, and they act in an illogical way that's not productive for their own happiness. So this is what happens. You act, you become attached, and even when you get it, it doesn't satisfy you, you become angry, and if you don't get it, it doesn't satisfy you, and you become angry. I mean, how many times do you hear about, you know, romantic relationships, and, you know, people say, oh, and they get together, and after that, there's arguments, and then they have to break up. Break up or fight or whatever. So things should not be based upon attraction between the senses and sense objects. Things should be based upon love of Krishna. If whatever, like if you have a marriage relationship that's based on love of Krishna, that's wonderful. Because you stay, things fall apart where the center will not hold. So if the center is on your own sense satisfaction of a relationship, the relationship ultimately crumbles. Even if you stay together, it's still crumbled. I mean, you can live in a building that's destroyed, in the rubble of a building that's destroyed. But if you have Krishna in the center, then that building of the relationship actually gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay. Let's read Prabhupada's purport. One who is not Krishna conscious is subject to material desires while contemplating the object of the senses. The senses require real engagements, and if they are not engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they will certainly seek engagement in the service of materialism. In the material world, everyone, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to say nothing of the other demigods and the heavenly planets, is subjected to the influence of sense objects, and the only method to get out of this puzzle of material existence is to become Krishna conscious. Lord Shiva was deep in meditation, but when Parvati agitated him for sense pleasure, he agreed to the proposal, and as a result, Kartikeya was born. When Haridas Thakur, this is another circumstance, was a young devotee of the Lord, he was similarly allured by the incarnation of Mayadevi. Let me explain who the incarnation of Mayadevi is. She is all the attraction in this material world rolled into one person. Pretty good. I mean, anything you might find attractive in this world, and we're talking about beautiful mountains, majesty, fruited plains. I know that's the national anthem. We're talking about beautiful sunset, the moon, computers, you know, the most powerful computer. And so anyway, it depends on what type of Maya you're in. But Haridas, what he did, it's an interesting story. He was approached by her, and she was trying to attract him to see what his determination was. And he simply said, you know, I have to finish my rounds. And this went on for 2 days, 3 days, and she eventually accepted him as her guru because he was completely attached to Krishna. Because Krishna gives us transcendental happiness, transcendental beauty, ecstasy. You know, we talk about ecstasy, bhava, emotions, such emotions that one can't control them. We've gone into an analysis in previous classes about the different types of emotions, the different types of bhavas. So he was experiencing so much happiness. And not that he was just like in Brahman, you know, like some sort of Novocaine for the consciousness. But he was experiencing so much happiness that all this was lesser. As illustrated in the above verse, mentioned verse, of Sri Jamunacharya, a sincere devotee of the Lord shuns all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste for spiritual enjoyment in the association of the Lord. So in other words, we're not asking anyone, and Krishna's not asking anyone, to give up any sort of sense enjoyment in this world. Krishna is asking us to try something higher. That's all. It's as simple as that. Try something higher. And if you're more attracted to that and having more happiness in that, and you give up the lower taste like a snake sheds its skin, what's the problem? You know, you don't take the snake's skin. Of course, you don't take snakes anyway. And peel off its skin. It has to happen in due course of time. That one is experiencing so much happiness, it's just like happiness, not happy only happiness, but so much compassion for everybody and love for everybody. I mean, his whole mind is filled with just unlimited love for everyone and for Krishna, of course, who is the source of everyone. One who is not therefore in Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling senses by artificial repression, is sure to ultimately fail, for the slightest thought of sense pleasure will agitate him to gratify his senses. Pretty clear. Okay, text 63. This is a continuation of text 62. Because the text 62, we found out what happens when you contemplate sense objects. Attachment develops, attachment lust comes, then anger. So now we're going to take up from this point where the person is angry. Krodat bhavati samoha samohat smriti vibramaha smriti bramshad bhuti buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashati. Krodat from anger, bhavati takes place, samoha perfect illusion, samohat from illusions, smriti of memory, vibramaha bewilderment, smriti bramshat after bewilderment of memory, buddhinasha loss of intelligence, buddhinashat and from the loss of intelligence, pranashati one falls down. Translation from anger. So remember, that's where we left off in the previous verse. Complete delusion arises. You know, haven't we experienced them when we get angry? It says, don't talk to me. Even if we're not angry with that particular person, it's just we're in a state of anger, complete delusion. I mean, you forget who you are. You're striking out in all directions. I mean, I remember we had one person in the temple got really angry one time, and she put her head through the wall. You know, how is that going to take care of the anger? I mean, you do so many crazy things. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. In other words, you forget how you're supposed to act. You forget your eternal relationship with Krishna. You forget everything, and you act in ways that are not productive to spiritual life. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. In other words, if you forget what your purpose in life is, you know, what your goal or goals are, and one intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material world. Pool. In other words, the mode of ignorance. It's not a swimming pool, it's a material pool. So Prabhupada says that Srila Rupa Goswami has given us this direction. Prapanchikataya bhujya hari sambandhu vastunaha mamukshubi parityago varayam vairagyam pagukatyate. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 1.2.258. By development of Krishna consciousness, one can know that everything has its use in the service of the Lord. Let me, actually, I should tell you what that verse means. That if one rejects something that can be used in Krishna's service, you know, out of the consciousness that everything is Maya, I reject everything, that's called false renunciation. And Prabhupada gave the example in this regard of someone who finds someone else's money or a wallet in the street. And there's several things you can do. One is you take the money. In that one sense, that's stealing. Another thing you can do is you could say, I renounce the money. But that's false renunciation because it never belonged to you. How can you renounce something that doesn't belong to you? Or another thing you can do is you can find out who the money belongs to and give it back to them. And that's Krishna consciousness. Instead of renouncing sense enjoyment or the objects of the senses or something that can be used in Krishna service, we take it and we use it in Krishna service, in Krishna service. And then we can use the whole world in Krishna service. We can use money, wealth, you know, wealth and money, same thing. We can use computers, thank God, in Krishna's service, we can use everything. So by development, one can know that everything has its use in the service of the Lord. those who are without knowledge of Krishna consciousness artificially try to avoid material objects, and as a result, although they desire liberation from material bondage, they do not attain to the perfect stage of renunciation. Their so-called renunciation is called phalgu, or less important. And also Prabhupada translated that sometimes as false renunciation. And Prabhupada also referred to a particular river in India that's called the Phalgu River. That river, it appears to be a dry river, just dry riverbed, but underneath there is water running. Underneath the surface there's water running. That's an interesting term, Phalgu. On the other hand, a person in Krishna consciousness knows how to use everything in the service of the Lord, therefore he does not become a victim of material consciousness. For example, an impersonalist, the Lord of the Absolute, being impersonal, cannot eat. And that's crazy, because if we can eat, why can't Krishna eat? Whereas an impersonalist tries to avoid good eatables, a devotee knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he eats all that is offered to him in devotion. So after offering, in other words, you can enjoy good food in Krishna consciousness. No other yoga process, you're really supposed to do that. You're supposed to be really austere. I mean, extremely austere. The devotee, after offering good eatables to the Lord, the devotee takes remnants called prasadam. Prasadam means mercy. Thus, everything becomes spiritualized, and there's no danger of downfall. The devotee takes prasadam in Krishna consciousness, whereas the non-devotee rejects it as material. The impersonalist, therefore, cannot enjoy life due to his artificial renunciation. For this reason, a slight agitation of the mind pulls him down again into the pool of material existence. That's the same story of Viswamitra Muni we just told. Just Menaka comes, and he goes for it and forgets all about his yoga practices. It is said that such a soul, even though rising up to the point of liberation, falls down again due to his not having support in devotional service. So in other words, the nature of the soul is that loving relationship. If you don't have it, it's a need. It's a need of the soul. You know, previously we've been talking about the devotee or people having different needs. And of course we do have physical needs. We have needs like air, water, food, light, you know, sense of touch or something, you know, warmth. And we do have some emotional needs. That's a fact. But then we have a transcendental emotional need of loving relationships. And if that's not satisfied, we can never remain fixed in spiritual life. It's just not going to happen because we have a need for love. And that need for love, according to Prabhupada in his introduction to the Krishna book, needs to be expressed unlimitedly. It needs to grow unlimitedly. Prabhupada gives the example of shining a light. If you shine it in a box, it just hits the edge of the box. But if you shine it out in the sky, particularly if it's a laser, then it goes on for a long, 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 long time. Actually, it goes on a long, all across the universe, basically. So we want our love, our loving propensity, our loving relationships to go on unlimitedly. That satisfies the heart. So vai pum samparo dharma. Yato bhakti yahoksajay ahoitukiya pratyata yatma supersedate. On that note, tomorrow we will continue at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with text 64, but now we are going to take some questions after I take off the mute from everybody, if that's all right. Just take 1 second, allow the participants to unmute themselves, and then after that, we have some announcements and a graduation for some of our students who are graduating from the BKG Academy. And I don't know who the BKG Academy is named after, but anyway. So we have graduation after that, so which will be online. So, all right, announcement. Announcement first. Here's the announcement. Announcement is next week we are having the Panihati Festival. It will be a picnic at the temple. Oh, actually, I should take questions first. No, thank you very much for reminding me of that. Who wants to ask a question? There is
Thank you,
someone named.
Seventy.
Oh, I don't recognize you. Anyway, Nalini Kant, so ask your question.
Gurudev. Gurudev, you mentioned other day in the lecture about Srila Prabhupada used to say that when we are new in movement, we can eat like
Up to my neck.
Full, up to the neck. So that initial period, how many years we can count, or is there anything we can decide?
How many years? 2 years, 3 months, and 15 days.
I decide, but I always lost, and I start eating more than.
You're eating more than you. That's all right. Eat as much as you can. When it's time for you to reduce, you'll reduce. Just listen to your wife's instructions. No, anyway, just it'll be timed. I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it too much. I mean, I don't worry about it myself. I'm just eating how Krishna directs me. So when you become more Krishna conscious, Krishna will direct you to eat the right amount. But don't worry. If you worry about things too much, then you'll have anxiety attacks. We don't want that. So, all right. You have another
Gurudev,
question?
One short question regarding Nirjala Ekadashi. What is your recommendation?
My recommendation is you can increase your chanting and hearing. It's not something that Prabhupada recommended. It happened after Prabhupada left the planet, the people started doing it. Especially if you got warm weather, please don't give up drinking liquids because you can get kidney damage. You're a doctor. You know, if you're sweating all day long, of course, in New Zealand, you won't sweat because it's cold. But here, it's going to be quite warm. So at least drink. I mean, you can reduce your eating, you can reduce everything, increase your chanting and hearing. Try not to watch the news that day, no matter how attractive it is. Try not to do anything other than serving Krishna. But you have your occupation. If you're a doctor, you know, you have to do your occupational duty. Be practical. Prabhupada was very practical. I don't remember Prabhupada ever fasting completely on Ekadasi any time. Prabhupada would have special feasts made on Ekadasi. And when Prabhupada was asked about Bhima Nirjala Ekadasi, he gave some reply like Arjuna Ekadasi or something like that. You know, Prabhupada knew about it, but it wasn't something that Prabhupada really followed. You know, devotees started doing things I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but they started doing things that put them in a position of being more austere than Prabhupada after Prabhupada left the planet. And for me, I don't want to think that I'm doing something that Prabhupada didn't do. You know, if Prabhupada did it or didn't do it, it's good enough for me. And so main consideration is service and chanting. If you can chant more, particularly, you know, if you can chant like 25 rounds a day, and I try on Nirjala Ekadasi, or in all Ekadasis, to chant 64 rounds. If you can do it without interfering with any other thing, it's fine. But if you do it, if you're fasting all day long and not drinking water, and because of that your blood sugar is so low, you get angry at your wife and start yelling at her, then your Nirjala Ekadasi has no benefit. I've seen that. You know, sometimes when I remember there was one of our temple presidents, not here in North Carolina, who would fast completely on water and everything every Ekadasi, and the day after Ekadasi, he had to apologize to all the devotees for being so nasty to them. He just said, well, you have to excuse me, I was fasting. I have a bad temper on your Nirjala Ekadasi. You know, obviously, if your blood sugar, those of us whose blood sugar goes up and down, mine doesn't. But those of you who have blood sugar that goes up and down, or if you're going to fast and just feel like being a zombie all day long, what's the use of such a thing? A zombie means you're not going to be able to do anything. What's the use? So Prabhupada was always very practical. He did take prasadam on Ekadasi, but you know, Ekadasi prasadam. So I think be practical. You know, obviously if you're living in an ashram and you're a sannyasi, which you're not, you can do something different. But I definitely don't recommend it. It's not something Prabhupada did. I'm following Prabhupada. And if one wants to do it, it's all right with a spirit of devotion. I'm not saying that it's bad. But the first thing is service, chanting, hearing, preaching. You know, if you were to say to Prabhupada, I mean, even on Ekadasi, there was one story where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fed one of his disciples some rice so the disciple would have the energy to go out and preach. So I'm not saying we should do that. I definitely don't want to do that. But the whole importance is to serve Krishna. And so whatever maximizes our hearing, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, do it. And whatever minimizes, you know, just like mundane activities. I mean, don't go to Disneyland on Ekadasi. Yeah, don't watch your favorite Netflix movie on Ekadasi. That's the point. You know, serve Krishna. The whole point of Ekadasi, it's a positive thing. You know, people, after Prabhupada left, they started talking about Papa Purush and everything like that. The personality of sin and grains and everything like that. I don't think like that. I think that it pleases Krishna. One is pleasing Krishna by doing that. It's a special day. You get special benefit from doing devotional activities. Jai. You know, it's nice. Don't get angry on Ekadasi. Be kind to all living entities on Ekadasi. So, anyway, these are some of my recommendations. Okay, one more question from someone else. You already have your quota.
Hare Krishna Guru.
So, who was that?
Hare Krishna Guru.
Oh, it sounds like Rishikesh. But I don't see
Kunde,
smart.
my internet is too slow, so I don't want to start the video.
Okay, so what's the question, Rishikesh?
Gurudev, basically my question was that, you know, sometimes the anger not necessarily comes from lust. You know, like Arjuna was also angry, and Jayadratha, you know.
Yes.
So that is not basically lust, it is just something else. I just wanted to understand what's the difference between this
Well,
anger and
anger can be engaged in Krishna's service.
that.
Anger is
Okay.
not bad. Anger can come because one, let's say, by protecting the Kshatriya has to be angry in order to carry out his activity. So anger is not necessarily bad. Like we say, lust is not bad. Krishna himself in the Gita says, "Kamo asmi," I am lust according to the religious principles, right?
Right.
And he says, "I, you know, anger." Krishna's, it's a manifestation of Krishna, anger, and it's used in Krishna's service. So, if it's not coming from self-centeredness, frustration, I mean, it's not only from gross sense objects. It may be because someone is not listening to me. Like you may get angry with your children, for example. But you're contemplating yourself. You are contemplating the subtle sense object. You're contemplating yourself as the controller. In other words, you're contemplating. I have to be very clear. When Krishna talks about contemplating sense objects, it means subtle things too. That I'm the controller. I'm the father. I'm the boss. This person has to listen to me. I'm the husband. You see that oftentimes, like people take quotes out of context from the Vedic literatures. The husband's supposed to be wear the pants in this family. You know, they don't say that exactly. The husband is the putti guru. You ever heard of that expression before?
Yeah.
Putti guru. So it says you pull out your Vedic literatures and say to your wife, "I'm the putti guru," and you're not listening to your putti guru. So it's guru apparada against your putti guru. But actually, when you act like that, you're not acting like a guru, you're acting like something else. So anyway, so this is an important point. Yes, contemplating, or even false ego is contemplating sense object. Thank you for asking that question.
Thank
Now
you.
let me make, let me make an announcement now, because time is short and Aditya is going to want to make his announcements. So next week is the Panihati Festival. So we're going to have a special program. It may come as a shock to all of you. And there's going to be, you know, pots of sweet, not sweet rice, but condensed milk and yogurt and rice and all sorts of decorated pots. And all that's going to be organized. And so around the middle of the day, we want to have a picnic at the temple outside. So this is my decision as the boss. Anyway, so in the middle of the day, we're going to... I think I'm the boss. So in the middle of the day, we're going to have a picnic outside, and you'll be informed during the week what time it's going to be. There'll be social distancing. You can go up one by one. There'll be masks outside in the temple room, but no kirtans in the temple room. The reason for that is not because I'm an atheist. It's because wherever you have loud chanting in an enclosed space, there's the sharing of microbes. And this is a proven fact in many different other organizations. Actually, even in some places in ISKCON, the virus was passed around. In the UK, so many people got the virus during kirtans. So we don't want to have kirtans inside where there's a danger. And outside of their social distancing, there's no danger. We'll have the class outside. We'll be able to broadcast the same thing. I'll be able to broadcast, but from outside next week. And those of you who want to have a picnic with us, that'll be fun, isn't it? To have a Krishna conscious picnic, have the community together, because I'm lamenting that we all can't be together. I mean, we're together electronically, and that's better than nothing, but it's better to be together physically, even though we're not these bodies. It's better to be together, but safe. So we have to take both these things into consideration. And we want to follow the directions of the government, because it's the right thing to do. I mean, I don't want to see anyone get sick from the virus. And if you're interested in some health things you can do about the virus, you can see on YouTube a discussion I had with a German doctor about things you can do to prevent the virus, or things you can do to make your immune system stronger. That's another issue. So that's next week, and it'll be around the middle of the day. I don't know the exact timing. That's going to be worked out by the powers that be, even though I happen to be the boss. So that'll be worked out by everybody. And actually, now we have to do the graduation. So we're in the...
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, Aditya Narayan Das.
You want to do the announcements first?
Yes, Maharaj. Can I make the announcements since we have already talked about Panihati? I also wanted to announce...
You're already having a picnic outside. I can see the sky is clear and you're enjoying life.
So I'm just outside the temple, Maharaj. I just came to
the temple. You're enjoying life and the rest of us are locked in our houses.
I just wanted to announce about... since Maharaj mentioned about Panihati, so, you know, every year summer is like, this is one of our highlights of the summer, that, you know, we all come, we prepare nice pots, and then we prepare this wonderful preparations, which are actually very unique Chidda Dahi preparations. We'll have sweet and salty variety. So Maharaj mentioned about the picnic. We'll be sending out more details on our email and also on a WhatsApp group, so you'll be informed more about, you know, details during the day. But in addition to that, we are also offering, we have different levels of sponsorship for the Panihati. So if you sponsor $108 towards the Panihati, and if you come to a temple, then we'll have prasadam here, special prasadam prepared for you. Or we are also offering that if you are local, in the sense that if you're in Morrisville, Cary, or Greensboro area, like within 40 miles of temple, we will actually deliver prasadam to your house. So we are doing this special thing where we'll just come and we'll just drop prasadam at your, in front of your door, and we'll inform you your prasadam is there. So there'll be wonderful prasadam. So for $108, you get actually two varieties, and we actually make many of these varieties, very wonderful prasadam. You sponsor for $251, we drop like four different varieties of these preparations at your house. And if you do 501, then there are like 6 different varieties, and these are really wonderful. And there's actually a Google form. We actually sent out the link on our email and also WhatsApp. You can just fill the form. It has your address, requirements, and also like what is your sponsorship you like to do, and also like if you prefer sweet or salty, we'll have both the varieties. So you can specify all the details, and then the prasadam will be delivered Sunday in the evening. Okay, so you can have a nice Sunday dinner. And I'm sure like everyone is missing the temple Mahaprasadam. So this is a wonderful opportunity to sponsor and also, you know, make an offering for the pleasure of Shri Radha Golokananda, Shri Gaurnithai, and Srila Prabhupada. And in addition to that, we'll be actually giving you this wonderful prasadam. So it'll be wonderful to have prasadam delivered to your door. So please consider sponsoring for this wonderful festival. So as I mentioned, we have 108, 251, and 501. And the whole theme of this festival is that, you know, we want to serve Vaishnavas. And by service of Vaishnavas, we actually get the mercy of the Lord. So if you just want to do $51 just as a service towards Vaishnavas, you can even sponsor that. So if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact Mother Leela Shakti, or you can contact me, or you can email us at isconnc@gmail.com. And we'll send you more details about the Google form, and you can fill in the form. And we'll actually be preparing wonderful prasadam, and we'll be happy to deliver them at their house, at your house. Okay. So thank you so much. And the sooner you actually let us know, the easier it'll be for us to prepare all the preparations and the prasadam. So if you like prasadam delivered to your house, please let us know as soon as possible. The earlier, the better. So thank you so much, Maharaj. I just want to mention okay. that.
Thank you very much, Adesh Narayan Prabhu. So now we have our graduation. I guess all of our students are online. Is that right? Yeah, I see Ayush, I see Ishwar and Sundari. Anyway, I don't know who else is online. But so anyway, so we want to congratulate the devotees who attended the BKG Academy. It's just a very small school headed up by Champaka Lata, who I assume is online. I don't see her. Are you there, Champaka?
Yes, Gurudev, I'm here.
Okay. She's a great teacher and the daughter of another great teacher. It's a family tradition. Urmila, Mother Urmila is her mother. And so basically, so we're going to celebrate the graduation, not the graduation, but the end of the year and the certificates, which I'm going to show everybody in a second. Should I go ahead?
Or yes,
you want
please.
Do you want to talk about each person as I show the certificate or what?
I would like to, but I think it might mortify some of them. Some of them are quite shy. And as it is, just getting a certificate will be will be enough for them to handle.
All right. Okay, so here's the certificates. And no, of course, they'll get online. They'll get really certificates that are not just online. And so here's the certificate of achievement for Astuti Srivastava. And she completed the 9th grade. And we applaud her for her qualities of persistence. That means determination and artistry. Wow. That's very exciting. I wish I could go to school, too. I don't know if I actually do. So, and then next, whoops. Okay, let's see, Stuti. Next is Certificate of Achievement for Sundari Radha, and I can't pronounce the last name, Kubiziz, for the successful completion of 10th grade, and she's been applauded for her qualities of reliability and selfless service. Wow. And she's going to be taking second initiation very soon, too. So we want to congratulate Sundari. Very nice. And next is Certificate of Achievement to Vana Mali Shyam Prasad. And he's completed the 9th grade, and he has very good sense of humor. That's called witty introspection about himself. He's thoughtful and he's very accountable. In other words, if he's given something to do, he's very responsible. And then Ananya Srivastava, and she's completed the 4th grade And she has wonderful qualities of determination, and she's very lively in her participation. And actually, sometimes I spy on the school, because the school has actually been online and I have the password. And I can attest to this, that she's very determined and very lively too. So, congratulations. Next is Ayush, who's completed fifth grade, and he has wonderful qualities of leadership and enduring enthusiasm. I will attest to that too. He is unlimitedly enthusiastic, not just enduring, unlimitedly enthusiastic. So congratulations to Ayush. And Ishwara Chaitanya Kuvit, he's completed the eighth grade. And also, I can attest to his qualities, responsibility and loyalty to his guru. I mean, he's in eighth grade, and practically every day he comes to me and says, what do you want? Whatever you say, I will do. I'm a surrendered soul. I mean, amazing. And of course, as Prabhupada said, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So this is due to him and his sister having very, very good Krishna conscious parents. So these are the certificates, and the devotees will get these certificates in person, right? So Champaka, do you want to say anything?
Yes, I have printed all of them out. So I don't know if maybe you could just hand them to them next week at the Panihati celebration.
Yeah, I'll hand it to them next week.
So yeah, I mean, I guess the main thing I'd like to say is that the honor of their association is all mine. It's always wonderful to be in school with them. That I just can't help but think every day, over and over again, that Srila Prabhupada is sending amazing souls to us, and that I get to associate with them and do a morning program with them, study Shastra with them. It's such an honor. Thank you so much, Gurudev, for engaging me in this service. And thank you to all my students for being the most amazing association I could ask for. Thank you.
Wow. And Champaka grew up in New Goloka. Now she came to New Goloka when she was, maybe not this little girl, but she came to New Goloka, and she grew up, and she is very attached to the deities, Radha Golokananda, and they actually, the deities dragged her back here somehow or other, so she could do her service, and the deities also dragged her mother back here, which is kind of interesting. Krishna has a plan. We have to go along with Krishna's plan, even though we may not even want what Krishna's plan is. We have to go along with it. So that's our... Also, anyone else have a question or a comment about anything? Yes, Leela Shakti. Yeah.
Yes, I just actually, I just wanted to quickly say something about Champaka Lata, my dear god sister. Actually, many times I would hear some of what she was, you know, how she works with the children, and, you know, how... She's just amazing, actually. I mean, I've never come in contact with such a person who very good exemplary teacher, and also just a human being. I mean, just and devotee, just all the qualities. She's just got a whole entire package of beauty. You know, she's like a goddess of fortune with her dealings with the students, and myself and my husband are just really, really grateful of how just patient and kind and thoughtful, and she's just really on point on all subjects, and she's extremely loving and caring to everybody, to the children and the devotees in general, and also she's just a fountainhead of devotion, actually. So she's really inspiring. And I know that both of my children have found her association and her guidance, and tutelage to be invaluable in their lives. And I'm quite sure that without that coming, you know, into our purview in the last couple of years, that they would not be where they are, because, you know, it does take a village to raise a child, and especially when you have someone just so inspiring and just so wonderful of a person and a devotee. It's just really, it's just a big boon. Her coming here is just a big boon for Nukaloka, so I just wanted to thank her again and again and just express my gratitude. So thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you. Gurudev gets all the credit. I just tried to follow his example.
All right. So thank you very much. Right. Whoops. All the deities. So we're going to share the screen. All right. Okay, all glories to Radha Golokananda, and I won't say anything from this point forward, but we'll let you take darshan of the deities for a few minutes. Was live from the webcam in the temple. So anytime you want to see the deities, you can always go to Mayapur TV and look at Nukaloka, the Nukaloka temple there. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.